Palm Sunday, and literally, it is the beginning of Holy Week. I love this season, and I'll let you in on a little secret. Palm Sunday is probably my favorite Sunday of the entire year to preach. Now, you're expecting it to be good. That doesn't mean it's good. I just really enjoy speaking on Palm Sunday. I love the story. I love Easter. I really believe that Easter is everything, because Easter sets Jesus apart from every other God, every other belief, every other idea. So when you invite someone, you literally are inviting them to their personal resurrection. So in this series the last few weeks, as we have been talking about great expectations, we have talked about how that God wants to raise and redefine our expectations. I have been seeing him do that in my own life, and I'm hearing your stories of how that the Lord is doing the very same for you. He's wanting to build our faith. He's wanting to establish our faith, to put us in a position that literally we can believe for the impossible. I'm not trying to suggest that we should just live in some ethereal, just kind of out there floating through life. No, we have to walk. We have to pay bills. We have to mow grass. We have to pull weeds. We have to buy groceries. We have to live life. We have to do it 24 hours a day and 365 days a year. But how can I live that life in an abundant way? How can I live that life in a full way? How can I live that life with faith that makes a difference, not only for me, but for my house and for my family and for my community? That's what he has been helping us to do. And here's the deal. Not only do we want him to build our faith, he wants something from us also. He's expecting something from me. He's wanting something from me. And each week we have walked through an expectation Bible story where we have been able to see how faith is lived out in some of the different people in the Bible, how that Jesus raised and redefined their expectations, how that he worked in their lives. And this story today in Mark chapter 11 is known as the triumphal entry. It is that time when Jesus is getting ready to go into Jerusalem, and ultimately he is going to enter into his passion, into this place where ultimately we're going to experience Easter this week, the cross, Gethsemane, everything that he went through, everything that he suffered, everything that he did, and ultimately see him resurrected on Easter. But today, let me just talk to you for just a few moments on the fact that he's expecting you. He's expecting you. I know we're expecting him. I know we are wanting him. I know we are asking for him. I know we are reaching for him, but he's also expecting you and I. Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse number 1. Bible said that when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you." I want you to go into the village that is opposite you. That's an interesting word, opposite. I want you to go to the village that is opposite to you. I'm sending you to get something for me, but it's not in a place that you would expect. I want you to go and get something for me, but it's not going to be in a place where you would have thought possible, in a place where you would have expected it. It is in an opposite place. That tells me that Our perceptions need to be challenged. What do you mean by that? Our perceptions. I think our perceptions need to be challenged in the fact that we need to realize that God can and wants to use people who you and I may deem unlikely. God wants to work in people's lives that you and I would think, no, they're too far gone. It's impossible. There's no way that the Lord can save them. We need those perceptions challenged. We need to be challenged in the ways in which the Lord wants to work and who it is that God can use and who it is that God can work through. It's unlikely people. Yes, Jesus wants to save them. He wants to call them. He wants to use them. It could be the reason that he only sent two of his disciples. Instead of sending all of them, he said, look, I can only trust two of you because we like to fuss when Jesus uses someone that we don't think he should use. We like to waste all kinds of time arguing, and church fights erupt when people are used that we don't think should be used. Yes, Jesus said this is in an opposite village. I want you to go into this opposite place, and as soon as you have entered into it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has set. Loose it and bring it. So when you get to this opposite village, you're going to find this colt. As soon as you enter into this village, that tells me that what I'm looking for is going to be easy to find. I think sometimes we see the Lord as playing the ultimate game of hide and seek, that his will is impossible to decipher, that his ways are so beyond finding out that we never will realize them or see them or walk in them. That the Lord, we hear someone say that he wants good things for us, but we're never going to be able to find them because his hiding places are too good. No, Jesus said, as soon as you get into this opposite place, you're going to find what you're looking for immediately. You're going to find what you are searching for, what has been difficult all of your life, what has been hard for you for so long. As soon as you enter into this place, you will find this colt, and you're going to find him tied, and this colt is going to be one which no one has set. I believe we need a season of souls who are ready. People who are ready to accept, people who are not hard, people who are not difficult. And in fact, he said, you're going to find them tied up in something. That's interesting to me. They're going to be tied up because I think it's gotten to the place that we only want good sinners. We only want people to come to church who have no issues, people who have no problems. And yet Jesus said, when you find the one I'm looking for, you're going to find them tied up in something. You're going to find people who are addicted, people who are broken, people who are bitter, people who are angry, people who are messed up and their lives are intertwined in all kinds of foolishness. It's not for me to say, well, they are too tied up for Jesus to unravel. They are too tied up for me to get involved with their life. No, Jesus said, the thing I'm looking for is tied up, and I'm asking you to untie them. I'm asking you to do the work of discipleship in their life. I'm asking you to do the work of healing in their life. I'm asking you to do the unraveling in their life because I have need of this individual. I want to use them. I want to call them. I want to work through them. And so I need you to be willing. I need you to be willing to do the work in their life. Hear me, church. It's not my job to understand what landed them in the condition that they are in. It's not my job to judge them for why they are in the shape that they are in. I'm just asked to do one thing. Go in this opposite place. Find the donkey, the colt that Jesus is looking for. Find the person that Jesus is wanting to use, and then loose them. In fact, he said it's going to be a donkey or a colt that no one has set on. Been interesting since we've moved to the Tri-County area. We've been driving around just exploring up and down roads that we've never been on and just taking in the beautiful scenery. And we have passed multiple I don't even know what they call them here. I guess donkey ranches. Is that right? I don't know. I just see large tracts of land with beautiful fences, and there are just dozens of donkeys that are out there, and my kids are somewhat fascinated by them. I'm fascinated by them. We've pulled over and just watched them. Such an interesting looking animal, almost as though someone has discarded them, and yet they have this purpose. They are able to do this incredible work. They're able to carry this massive load. Jesus said, you're going to find a donkey that no man has ever sat on. Wait a minute, are you literally meaning that no one has ever sat on this donkey? Very possibly. But what that speaks to me on this Palm Sunday 2018 is that I'm gonna find someone who has never discovered their purpose. Someone who has never met the reason that they were born, the reason that they are alive. They may have been used for everything. They may have been borrowed for 100 different tasks. Someone may have abused them for this reason or that reason, but they've never been able to fulfill their purpose. Jesus said, those are the kinds of people that are tied up in all kinds of mess and in all kinds of brokenness and challenged by all kinds of circumstances. I know it's not going to be just a one Sunday, shout one time or turn around three times and they are going to be set free. No, you may have to unravel them. You may have to set them free, but I'm talking to people who have never really lived in their purpose. Can I tell you today that one of the loneliest places, one of the most hurtful places, is to never know your purpose or for no one else to see a value in you. But I need to tell you on this Palm Sunday that Jesus sees you. He knows exactly why he created you. Your first husband, your second husband, your fourth husband may have used and abused you. Your wife may have been so unkind. Your family may have abandoned you very early in your life. No one has ever seen your value. But can I tell you, you're in the presence of someone today, the Lord that's moving in this house, his spirit that's working in this place. He sees your value, and it's not too late for you to be used for the glory of God. That donkey, that person, that Jack. Woo! I'm trying not to preach KJV today, but it says pretty plain what it is. Probably what a lot of us are too. He said, no one has ever sat on this animal. No one has ever understood who I created them to be, who I called them to be. This is what I want you to do. I want you to loose them and bring them. I want you to loose them and bring them. When you're trying to understand what is my role in winning a soul, what is my role in inviting someone to Easter services, what is my role to helping someone discover their purpose, loose them and bring them to where Jesus is. It didn't say stop by Oprah. It didn't say go see Dr. Phil. It didn't say watch 8 hours of Mari Povich and try to figure it all out. No, just loose them and bring them. I want you just to look at someone, if you have any energy on this Palm Sunday, look at somebody and tell them, you know what? I loose you in the name of Jesus. All right, to wake up just a moment here today because God's Spirit is alive in this room. I loose you to your purpose. I loose you to understanding what it is that God wants you to do, what He's called you to do, who He's called you to be. I want you to loose them and bring them to me. I've got need of them. I want to use them. I've got plans for their life. I've got so many people. I got lists of people in my phone that I want to loose. People that I text every now and then. People that I call every now and then. You're not living in your purpose. You're not who God has designed you to be. Get out of that and get into this. It's time for you to be loosed because there's no telling what you could do for God. There's no telling what God could do through you. There's no telling the revival that could break out just with you. There's no telling how you could shake heaven with your prayer or how you could lift a house with your worship. You ought to be loosed into your purpose. You ought to be loosed into your destiny. Oh, no, Pastor Darrell, I'm already 57 years old. My day is gone. No, your day is not done. If you still have breath in your body, then God's purpose and God's plan is still on your life. You ought to be loosed. You ought to be loosed into what God has for you. And here's what Jesus said. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need. And immediately he will send it here. Because guaranteed, as soon as you untie someone, as soon as you lose someone, someone else is going to say, what do you want with them? Why are you wasting your time with him? Why are you fooling with her? Don't you know that couple? Don't you know what they were into and what they were doing? Why are you fooling with those people? You know why? Because not everyone can see the value or the purpose or the good. And don't forget this right here. Spiritual things are lost on lost people. They don't understand it. Because God's ways are higher. His thoughts are above. It doesn't make sense to them. If anyone asks you what you're doing, why you're spending time with them, just tell them the Lord has need. And you know what? They'll release him and send them here. Just tell somebody, he's expecting me. That's why I'm worshiping, because he's expecting me. That's why I'm praising. That's why I'm giving. That's why I'm serving, because he's expecting me. He asked me. He called me. He brought me. He loosed me. He is expecting me. I've got to do this. I'm compelled to do this. In fact, the King James says that they found the colt in a place where two ways meet. It was at a cross section. It was at an intersection. It was at a place where they could have gone this way or they could have gone that way. I have a feeling I'm preaching to people in this room today that are at an intersection in your life. You could go one way or another. You could do this or you could do that. I'm going to tell you, the enemy is good. He's good at getting you lost in the right places. Good at getting you confused and upset at the right things. But when you get at the intersection, that's when you don't rely on your own understanding. You don't depend upon your own heart, because it will deceive you. You need wisdom from above. I need counsel from on high. I need the Holy Spirit in me to lead and to guide me and to point my feet in the right direction, because that way looks right to me. The Bible said there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, they found him at a place where two ways meet. But Jesus said, bring him to me. I'm only down one of those roads. And then look, it happened just as he said. The Bible said in verse 4 that they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? And they spake to them, just as Jesus commanded, so they let them go. Verse 7, then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. That's what the Bible said. They threw their clothes on top of this colt, and Jesus climbed up and sat on this colt. This animal that had never been sat upon. This person, this beast, this individual, this created vessel, this vehicle that had never been used for its intended purpose, all of a sudden is in the presence of Jesus. All of a sudden is in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus is saying, hold him steady. Hold her steady. I'm about to climb into this vehicle. I'm about to climb up on top of this created beast. I'm about to climb up on top of this person, and I'm about to ride him into his destiny, into my destiny. Somebody needs to hear me in this room today. It may be your first Sunday at the church at Covington, but I've come to tell you that Jesus has a plan for your life. Jesus has something that he needs you for. He is expecting you. Expecting you. That's why I love that song, take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My life is torn in pieces. This is my offering. Take me to the King. I feel like I still have blood from where I was tied up. Still, I feel like I have scabs and scars from where I was tired. Still have the tracks in my arms. Still feel like I've got the chain links tattooed around my wrist. I didn't have time for a new members class. I didn't have time. I didn't have time to understand church protocol. I just came in one Sunday, and Jesus radically turned my life around. And the next thing I know, he's using me for his purpose. He's using me for his glory. He's doing something powerful and wonderful in my life. Hey, can I bring you to where Jesus is? Can I take you to the King? Can I take you to where Jesus is? Can I unloose you today with the word of the Lord and bring you to where Jesus is? Because he has need for you. I rebuke the enemy that would tell you there's plenty of other people sitting around you that can do what Jesus is calling you to do. No, no, no. There is something that he's purposed only you to do. There's something that he's called only you to do. There's something that he's anointed only you to do. You've got to be loosed and brought to where Jesus is so that he can use and work in your life. Verse 8, and many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The Bible said many, many of them spread these branches. Many of them came and began to lay out their clothes. I need to tell you something that I've been telling you Sunday after Sunday, there is revival that is coming to this house. There is growth that is coming to this house. There is breakthrough that is coming to this house. We began this series several weeks ago talking about God's timing, talking about God's order, and how he would move things and how he would just do literally the impossible to create what is happening right now at the church at Covington. And we understand this is a God thing. And what is the outflow of that? What is the result of that? Listen, it's not just average, status quo, mundane church. No, it is community altering. It is region shaking. It is life changing revival and harvest that God wants to do in this house. But what he needs are a bunch of people who are loosed and ready to be used by him. People coming. There are worshipers coming. You already know some of their names, and others will be people that you've never met before. People that you do not know. Some will be those whom you never imagined. Are you hearing me? That name that just popped into your mind. Oh, no, not them. No, no. They're the worst sinner in our county. That person. That one. Start praying for that person. God has a purpose for their life. Oh, no, no. That's the messiest house. That's the messiest marriage. That's the most immoral. That person. That couple. Those people. What could God do in their life? What could God do with their story? Many, many, many people spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting down branches and they spread them on the road. But first, he needs a willing vessel. You may be the vehicle that he rides in on, the heart that he feels, the testimony that he uses. Are you hearing me in this house today? You may be the story that he uses to bring about harvest. I dare say that every single one of us have people that we are connected to, have influence with, who could help that our story, our testimony would literally be the catalyst of life change for them. Oh no, Pastor Darrell, I'm trying to keep my story a secret. I don't want anybody to know. No, I don't want anybody to know what I went through, who I was, what I did, mistakes that I made. I'm not saying you have to give every detail. But I'm telling you, people, their lives are broken. Just this week, in the last couple of days, our phones have been ringing personally, Kristen and I. People whose lives are falling apart. People who are so broken. People that decisions and choices and mistakes, where do I go? What do I do? Come on, let me take you to the King. I know your life is broken. The Bible says in verse 9 that those who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest! They were worshiping him. They were crying out to him. They were exalting him and extolling him. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one able like you're able. There's no one powerful like you are powerful. powerful. Jesus, we love you. Hear me, this tri-county needs to be filled with worship and the honor that belongs to him. Needs to be filled with passionate praise, the sound of worship. I drive up and down these roads and see churches, and I pray for churches pulled into parking lots and have sat there praying for churches in this county, in this tri-county area. God, I pray that you would bless this church, that you would strengthen this pastor, that you would touch them. What are you doing? Don't we want our church? Yeah, we want our church to grow, but we're not trying to grow because of their members. We want their church to be filled. We want their house to be alive and on fire with the power of God. It's not going to be just one church that's going to turn a community upside down. It's going to be a band of brothers. It's going to be an army of believers. But hear me, as for me and my house, as for me and my personal home, as for me and the church that I am honored to lead, we have to sound worship and praise and passion. Hosanna in the highest. We worship you, Lord. It's not just our county. It's not just the tri-county. It's our nation that needs to hear the sound of praise. This region needs to hear the sound of praise. And I say, let it be heard from here. I was at the ball field yesterday with my son. We won 5-3. But I'm kind of that dad fan. I was a nervous wreck, and I was going from place to place and videoing and taking pictures and coaching from the sidelines. And one of those moments, Felix, that I was moving from one position over to another position just where I could get the best advantage, there was somebody that stopped me and said, hey, you're the pastor over there, right? Yes, I am. I've been hearing what's happening. What are you hearing? I'm hearing that God is doing great things. Awesome. Come see us. Pray for us. Back to my cheering. Running back to the position, and someone else is stopping. Hey, I think I recognize you. Saw your picture in the paper. Aren't you the name? Yeah, I am. Listen, we're winning. What? I'm coming to your church. Coming. Why? Why? Because I've just been tied up for a long time in stuff. Been messed up for a long time in stuff. And you know what I'm hearing about people that you run into and that you talk to and that you see, and they all say that they are coming. What is it? It is a call to worship. It is a call to come closer to Jesus. It is a call to higher commitment. It is a call to do what the Lord has asked us to do. You know what the Bible says in verse 11? This is where I'll end. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. You know what? Jesus was able to go into his purpose because I got into my purpose. Are you hearing me? Wait a minute. No, Pastor. Jesus can do anything he wants to do. I understand that. But he asked for a colt to be untied and loosed. What's interesting to me is that Jesus did not move until they moved. Jesus did not move until they obeyed and brought him the colt that he asked for. And when they did what Jesus asked them to do, he climbed on top of that vehicle and he rode into his purpose. Who in this house is Jesus waiting on to move? Who? Who is it? Sir, ma'am, family, couple, student, young adult. Who is Jesus waiting on to move? I'm embarrassed. I'm just watching others. I'm seeing what others are doing. I'm just waiting on someone else to move. No, stop waiting on anybody else and move. If Jesus is calling you, don't hesitate. I've tried to be the first one in the altar my entire life. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm not worried about what anybody's going to say. Wonder what sin he's into. Don't worry about it. I'm going to the King. I'm getting in the presence of the Lord. I preached a couple weeks ago that whoever was first into that pool, they got what they were looking for. Stop waiting on other people. Move, move, move into your purpose so that God's glory can be fulfilled in this house. Do what Jesus is asking you to do so that his house can be built, so that this house can do and function as it should. He's expecting you, and he's expecting me. He wants all of us to work. Would you stand with me all across the room today? I feel God in this house. I feel God in this house.